भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So you chant your verses first? You're not doing the verses. Okay.
We haven't got burned out.
Okay. They learned them all, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. It's very important to learn verses. I can do about one a year if I work hard at it. do we have a summary of the chapters in that book? What do we know? First and second, 11th cant? So today we're doing the 11th canto, chapter 1 and 2, concentrating, I think, on text 44 through 46 of chapter 2. Okay, so we'll read the chapter summaries. You tell me. Was it 2 and 3? Okay. So we're doing chapters 2 and chapter 3 from the 11th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh, these are real short. I'll just read them then. Chapter 2, Narada comes to the home of Vasudeva and relates the ancient history of the conversation between the 9 Yogendras and Maharaj Nimi. Chapter 3, in answer to 4 questions asked by Nimi, the Yogendras describe the nature and activities of the illusory potency, Maya, the method of becoming free from her grip, the transcendental situation of Lord Narayan, and Karma Yoga. Okay. So in chapter 2, this is a conversation, Maharaj Nimi and the 9 Yogendras, and we'll see that one of the Yogendras, Javier, is speaking here, and we'll be talking today primarily about the different classes of devotees. I think we covered that once before here, about a year ago for those of you who are here, but it's a very, very good topic. So starting with text 44, there's about 15 pages of purports here, so I'm not going to read all of it, or I don't think we could even have time to complete, but we'll read part of it. Okay, so let's do the Sanskrit on 44. That's where we're beginning. Do we have the Sanskrit up? Okay. Shri Rajo Vacha Yata Charati Yad Brute Yair Lingair Bhagavat Priya Shri Bhagavat Moyam Yay Lingya Achunri Bhagavati. Shri Rajo Vacha, the king spoke. But next, Bhagavatam, about the devotee of the personality of Godhead. Bruta, please tell me,
Yad dharma.
Having what duties?
Yadrisha.
Having what nature?
Nrinam.
Among men.
Yata.
How?
Acharati.
He behaves.
Yat.
What?
Brute.
He speaks.
Yai.
By which?
Lingai.
Visible symptoms.
Bhagavat Priya.
He is known as
one dear to the Supreme Lord.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Nimi said, "Now please tell me in greater detail about the devotees of the Supreme Lord. What are the natural symptoms by which I can distinguish between the most advanced devotees, those on the middle level, and those who are neophytes? What are the typical religious activities of a Vaishnava, and how does he speak? Specifically, please describe those symptoms and characteristics by which the Vaishnava becomes dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So I'm going to skip the purport because we're going to concentrate on the purport to text 45. And the next three verses, 45, 46, and 47, describe the three classifications of devotees. So text 45, I'll just read. Sri Havya Ruvacha Sarvabhuteshu Yak Pashyed Bhagavat Bhavam Atmana Bhutani Bhagavatyatmani Esha Bhagavatotama. Translation, Sri Havir said, "The most advanced devotee sees within everything the soul of all souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and understands that everything exists eternally situated within the Lord." I think I'm going to jump ahead and read the next two translations so we get the whole context here. 46. An intermediate or second-class devotee called Majjhima Adhikari offers his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a sincere friend to all the devotees of the Lord, shows mercy to ignorant people who are innocent, and disregards those who are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And text 47, a devotee who faithfully engages in the worship of the deity in the temple, but does not behave properly toward other devotees or people in general, is called a Prakriti Bhakta, a materialistic devotee, and is considered to be in the lowest position. So these three verses describe the Majjhima, the Uttama Majjhima and Kanishtha Adhikari. So I'm going to go back and read part of the purport. It's very, very long, and text 45, which really describes these classifications in greater detail. Can we have some help reading? Can we begin and maybe do a paragraph or two and go around?
Should I start? In the Bhagavad Gita 6:30, the Lord says, Yomam pashati sarvatra sarvam cha mai pashati tasyaham na pranashyami sachamena pranashyati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Srila Prabhupada comments, a person in Krishna consciousness certainly sees Lord Krishna everywhere, and he sees everything in Krishna. Such a person may appear to see all separate manifestations of the material nature, but in each and every instance he is conscious of Krishna, knowing that everything is the manifestation of Krishna's energy. Nothing can exist without Krishna, and Krishna is the Lord of everything. This is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. The qualification of seeing Krishna is stated in the Brahma Samhita. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu valokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya guna sarupam govindam adi purusham damaham vajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotees whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shama Sundar, situated within the heart of the devotee. A devotee of the highest level of spiritual qualification is glorified for the expansiveness of his spiritual vision. For example, when the stalwart demon Haranyakashipu questioned his self-realized son Prahlad Maharaj as to the whereabouts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prahlad Maharaj, being a Mahabhagavata, or a pure devotee, answered straightforwardly that the Supreme Lord is everywhere. The demoniac father then asked if God was in the pillar of the palace. When Prahlad Maharaj answered yes, Haranyakashipu, being a bona fide demon. That's funny. Struck the pillar with his sword, trying to kill God, or at least to disprove his existence. Then Lord Narasimhadev, the most ferocious form of the Supreme Lord, immediately appeared and finished forever the illicit program of Hiranyakashipu. Thus Prahlad Maharaj can be accepted as an Uttama Adhikari devotee.
A pure devotee is completely free from the tendency to enjoy things separately from the Lord's service. He does not see anything in the universe as unfavorable, because he sees everything as the expanded potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee's purpose is to give pleasure somehow or other to the Supreme Lord. Thus, everything that a pure devotee experiences moment by moment increases his ecstatic, loving desire to satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord.
The three modes, material nature, torment the conditioned souls who absorb his mind in the separated material energy of the Lord. The functions of the separated energy, Bina Prakriti, is to take the living entity away from the reality, which is that everything is within Krishna, and Krishna is within everything. Being covered by the gross ignorance, the bewildered conditioned souls believe that only the objects of his own limited vision actually exist. Sometimes such foolish persons speculate that if a tree falls in a forest with one to hear the, into the forest with no one to hear it, there will actually be no sound. The conditioned souls do not consider that since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all-pervading, there is no question of no one's hearing. The Lord is always hearing, as stated in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvata Srutrima Loke. The Supreme Lord hears everything. He is Udat Upadrita, the witness of everything.
In this verse, the word Bhagavatama, the most advanced devotee, indicates that there are those who are not gross materialists, but who are not the highest devotees. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, those who cannot properly distinguish between devotees and non-devotees, and who therefore never worship the pure devotees of the Lord, are to be known as Kanishta Adhikaris, devotees on the lowest stage of devotional service. Such Kanishta Adhikaris engage in worship of the Supreme Lord, especially in the temple, but are indifferent to the Lord's devotees. Thus, they misunderstand this statement by Lord Shiva in the Padma Purana. O Devi, the most exalted system of worship is the worship of Lord Vishnu. Greater than that is the worshipping of Tadiya or anything belonging to Vishnu. Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse. Sri Vishnu is Satchitananda Vigraha. Similarly, the most confidential servant of Krishna, the spiritual master and all devotees of Vishnu are Tadiya. The Satchitananda Vigraha, Guru, Vaishnavas, and things are used by them must be considered Tadiya, and without a doubt, worshipable by all living beings.
Typically, the Kanishta Adhikari is eager to engage his materialistic qualifications in the service of the Lord, mistaking such material expertise to be the sign of an advanced devotion. But by continuing to serve the Supreme Lord and the devotees engaged in propagating the Lord's mission, the Kanishta Adhikari also advances in his realization and comes to the state of dedicating his activities to helping more advanced Vaishnavas. Even such Kanishta Adhikaris can help ordinary living entities by their association, since at least the Kanishta Adhikaris have faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because of this faith, the Kanishta Adhikari gradually becomes inimical to those who are opposed to the Lord. As he gradually becomes more and more inimical to those who hate the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and becomes more attracted to the friendship with other faithful servants of the Lord, the Kanishta Adhikari approaches the second class stage called Madhyama. In the Madhyama stage, the Vaishnava sees the Lord as the cause of all causes and the chief goal of everyone's loving propensity. He sees the Vaishnavas as his only friends within this material world, a morbid world, and is eager to bring innocent people within the shelter of Vaishnava society. Also, a Madhyama Adhikari strictly avoids associating with the self-proclaimed enemies of God. When such an intermediate qualification becomes mature, the concept of supreme qualification begins to present itself. That is, one comes to the stage of Uttama Adhikari.
A Kanishta Adhikari guru, one who is simply attached to performing religious ceremonies and worshiping the deity without appreciation for other Vaishnavas, especially those who are preaching the message of the Lord, will especially appeal to persons interested in the dry cultivation of knowledge. As a living entity develops mundane piety, he proudly devotes himself to regulated work and nobly tries to detach himself from the fruits of his work. Through such regulated, detached work, knowledge or wisdom gradually arises. As knowledge or wisdom becomes prominent, the pious materialist becomes attracted to altruistic and charitable work and gives up gross sinful activities. If he is fortunate, he then becomes favorable to the transcendental devotional service of the Lord. Desiring a mere intellectual understanding of devotional service, such a pious materialist may seek shelter at the feet of a Kanishta Adhikari. If unable to advance in the Madhyama qualification, he then becomes attracted to a Vaishnava actively engaged in preaching Krishna consciousness. And when fully mature on the platform of intermediate devotion, he becomes attracted to the Maha Bhagavata level and is awarded a glimpse of the exalted position of the Maha Bhagavata spiritual master by the grace of Krishna within his heart. If one gradually goes on in the devotional service of the Lord, one becomes established as a Paramahamsa Maha Bhagavata. At this stage, all of his actions, movements, and engagements in preaching are dedicated solely to the satisfaction of Krishna. The illusory potency, Maya, has no power to throw or cover such a purified living entity. In Upadeshamrita 5, Srila Rupa Goswami has described this stage of life as Vajana Vigyam Ananyam Anya Nindadi Shunya Hridam.
A Mahabhagavat, being empowered by the Supreme Lord, Yogeshvara, is endowed with the supernatural power to inspire and give success to the Madhyama Adhikari who follows in his footsteps and to elevate a Kanishta Adhikari gradually to the intermediate platform. Such devotional power springs automatically from the ocean of mercy found within the heart of a pure devotee. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out that a Mahabhagavat has no desire to inflict punishment on the enemies of the Lord. Rather, he engages the Madhyama Adhikaris and Kanishta Adhikaris in preaching work to purify the Buddha mentality of the inimical souls who are falsely imagining the material world to be separate from Krishna.
One more paragraph.
There are unfortunate living entities who are unable to understand the glory of a Kanishta Adhikari within the realm of devotional service, have no praise for the more advanced state of intermediate devotion, and cannot even begin to understand the most exalted stage, that of the Uttama Adhikari. Such unfortunate souls, attracted to impersonal Mayavad speculation, follow faithfully in the footsteps of Kamsa, Akha, Baka, and Putana, and are thus killed by Sri Hari. In this way, the community of sense gratifiers remains uninterested in service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, and according to the individual perverted vision of so-called self-interest, such each materialist chooses his own misfortune in the form of repeated birth and death in various types of material bodies. There are 8,400,000 species of material forms, and the materialistic form of repeated birth and death in various types of material bodies. There are 8,400,000 species of material forms, and the materialistic living entity select the particular flavor of birth, old age, disease, and death they wish to inflict upon themselves under the hallucinations of so-called material progress.
Thank you. I think we'll stop there. That's just pretty good. Om Jnana Timrandesha Gnanjana Salakaya Chakshur Nitamina Tasmashigarve Namaha Panchakopatribhishtha Kripasinibhivishtha Patitano Pavanebhyo Vaishaveva Namo Namaha. These are very, very important verses, very important concepts within Krishna consciousness to understand. In some ways I wanted to mention, I mistakenly said translation by Srila Prabhupada just out of habit. Obviously, the 11th canto is not translated by Srila Prabhupada, so my mistake. Excuse me. We're hearing about the Majjhima, Kanishtha, and Uttama Adhikari devotees. This word Adhikari means spiritual attainment. So we're talking about sort of the level of spiritual progress that people have made in the path of bhakti. Sometimes they're also described as a Prakrita Bhakta or materialistic Bhakta for the third class, second class Majjhima, and the first class, a Uttama Adhikari or Mahabhagavat is sometimes used. These concepts are so important that we actually find them in different places within the scriptures. This is one of the best descriptions here in the 11th canto of the classifications of devotees, but you can also find a similar description in the Majjha Lila chapter 22. In the teachings to Rupa Goswami, as well as in the Nectar of Instruction, verse 5, which was mentioned here, and the Nectar Devotion in the second chapter also describes this classification. So there's several places in our scriptures that Prabhupada has presented these concepts to us and our other devotees. So it's very, very important. What we're really talking about is a distinction in spiritual realization, spiritual attainment, and based upon that spiritual attainment and realization, how devotees relate to different classes of devotees and how they relate to each other. So that, I think, is one of the most practical applications of this information, is for us to understand how to properly relate to serve, and to deal with different types of devotees. Now, it's kind of a paradox because on one hand, we often think, well, we shouldn't really make distinctions about devotees. We shouldn't really think this devotee is higher, this devotee is lower, this devotee is more advanced, this is less advanced, because we do appreciate all devotees. So we should actually take that attitude of appreciation as we look at a Kanishtha, Majjhima, and Uttama Adhikari devotee. In other words, we say, how do we differentially respect and appreciate the different types of devotees? And the reason that we make any distinction at all is really just so that we have a little bit of understanding of our own relationships, and so that we act properly as Vaishnavas, as devotees, in these very, very important relationships with devotees, in our association with devotees. So, and it also gives us some idea of some ways that we can make a little bit of intelligent discrimination amongst devotees that perhaps that we should listen to, and that we should take shelter of and take a counsel of, and maybe those that we should respect or have friendship with, but not quite necessarily follow their every word, because that can also be a problem. So because we know there are all different kinds of devotees of all different degrees of understanding, realization, and their own sadhachar, their own behavior in Krishna consciousness, we need to have a little bit of discrimination, and know what is actually advanced and what isn't. So in terms of the realization of the three classes of devotees, first of all, the Kanishtha Adhikari is described in text 47 here, that they worship in the temple, often will worship the deity of Krishna, but they don't necessarily know the scriptures well. And they certainly do not see Krishna everywhere. And in fact, that there might be a tendency sometimes for a certain class of Kanishtha Adhikaris to only worship Krishna in the temple. I come to the temple, I see the deity of Krishna, I worship him, but I don't see Krishna anywhere else. I don't recognize Krishna in the devotees. I don't respect the devotees necessarily. Krishna's only in temple. I walk out of the temple, and that's kind of the end of my understanding of Krishna. The other thing is that they may not behave properly or properly respect other devotees. The Kanishadhikari may not understand the role of the spiritual master or the role of the acharyas. And it's described, I think, in this verse 47, it says they do not behave properly. So that might be a qualification or a... Of course, remember, we probably all come from the Kanishta platform. So let's not get too carried away with ourselves and say, oh, those Kanishtas. I think myself, I probably still have many Kanishta qualities, you know, that I still struggle to work on and try to make advancement. The Majjhima Adhikari, in contrast, has a strong faith. They're very much situated in devotional practice, performing sadhana bhakti under the instructions of the spiritual master, strictly following the principles. They'll take initiation, or they're striving towards, you know, attaining initiation from the spiritual master. And they make a distinction between the four classes of people, which was mentioned in text 46, and I'll go back to that in a minute and talk about that. So their faith is fairly strong. They may not have complete realization, they may not be able to perfectly speak the philosophy, but they have very strong faith, committed faith, and they're dedicated to Krishna consciousness. The Uttama Adhikari is on the platform of pure devotional service. The Mahabhagavat, it says in text 45, sees systematically everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord and understands that everything that exists is eternally situated within the Lord. So the example was given of Prahlad Maharaj as an Uttama Adhikari, one who has seen Krishna everywhere, one who is always understanding Krishna, always feeling connected to Krishna, never feeling apart from Krishna. So we know that, you know, and the example is given of Prahlad Maharaj when his father Hiranyakasipu said, "Where is this God? Where is this Krishna of yours?" He said, "Krishna's everywhere." And he didn't just say that as a theoretical, philosophical position. Yes, God is everywhere. It's easy for any of us to say that, but he actually understood it. He actually realized it and experienced it. And when Hiranyakasipu said, "Well, is he in this pillar?" he could with complete faith say, "Yes, God is also in this pillar." And because of his total faith, Krishna manifests himself as Lord Nrisimhadeva within that pillar. So this is the power of this unadulterated, unbending faith that the pure devotee Uttama Adhikari possesses. We rarely see an Uttama Adhikari devotee. This is not a very light thing. This is not a cheap thing. We were fortunate that we have one just wonderful example of Srila Prabhupada, someone who is clearly, universally recognized as an Uttama Adhikari, pure devotee of the Lord. That's our example. That's our exemplar of Uttama Adhikari Mahabhagavat. So many of us in our own lifetime, we were fortunate enough to have that association, and those of you who are a little younger still have so much association through Srila Prabhupada's books and the videos and so much information and remembrances that we have this personal contact with the Uttama Adhikari devotees. That's actually a very wonderful and very rare thing for us to all appreciate. In terms of the faith of the different classes of devotee, as I said, the Kanishta will tend to have a weak faith. It's described that they sometimes may defeat it in arguments. They may not be able to fully defend the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, although they have some, and it was described in the purport, there is some faith that's there, certainly. But there's also, because their faith is not as strong, they could also give up Krishna consciousness or lose their faith and give up devotional service. And we can see that's the case of many, many devotees. When we see devotees come and we see that they leave and they give up Krishna consciousness or give up the practice of sadhana bhakti, more than likely we can understand they were on this Kanishta Adhikari platform. And again, we all start at that platform. It's not that that's necessarily, that's not a disqualification, it's not a negative, it's just a fact. We start at the lower platform, and hopefully by our faith, as it becomes stronger and stronger, as described here in this purport, that faith through good association with more advanced devotees will become stronger to the point that one comes to the Majjhima platform. At the Majjhima platform, one is actually quite well situated. And one who is truly well situated at the Majjhima platform is a very strong devotee, is a very advanced devotee, and actually should be very much respected, because it means that person is not like, they can fall down, of course, anything is possible, but they're not likely to. You know, they're very firmly fixed. They understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. They're able to explain and preach the philosophy. So they're very well situated. And as that devotional service continues to grow and grow over the years, and we continue to perform devotional service someday at Uttamanakari platform or some lifetime, that will be there for us. Okay. So we can understand this as a progression. Don't necessarily think that, you know, everyone, you know, falls into a discrete category, and then there's some like magical time when you get like a diploma and you go from Kanishka to Majjhima to, you know, it's obviously it's a continuum, and it's a progress, a progression, sort of from one stage to the other. Also in terms of chanting, there's some interesting information I found in the Bhaktivinoda Thakura's Jivadharma. He talks about the different classes in terms of their chanting. He says that the Kanishtha Adhikari will occasionally chant, but it's not necessarily steady in their sadhana. In other words, they may not be really fixed in chanting their rounds and really, really convinced and determined about the process of chanting. The Majjhima Adhikari is constantly chanting, very much fixed, very much following the vows of chanting rounds. And the Uttama Adhikari, Bhaktivinoda describes, has the power that he inspires others to chant just by their presence. So that's kind of the difference. If we're striving for the Majjhima Adhikari platform, we may be strictly trying to follow and chant our rounds. But one who is on this highest platform inspires the chanting of the holy name. And we can see that in Srila Prabhupada's case. How did so many thousands of young people who knew nothing about Krishna consciousness, who had so many bad habits, you know, take immediately to the chanting of the holy name, and even to take, you know, serious vows of chanting every day? So that's the power and inspiration that the Uttama Adhikari has. In terms of relationships with others, this is a very important thing for us to understand. The Kanishtha Adhikari often doesn't appreciate the devotees. We sort of mentioned this. They may worship Krishna in the temple, but they don't necessarily recognize an advanced devotee and actually serve that devotee. Srila Prabhupada once told us that if you were worshiping the deity and the spiritual master walked into the temple room, you actually could interrupt your service to the deity and serve the guru, or, you know, serve an advanced devotee. You know, that's a deeper understanding that even above worshiping the deity is to worship the devotee. In fact, what is in the Adi Purana, Krishna says to Arjuna, "One who worships me is not really my devotee, but one who worships my devotee is actually my devotee." So even Krishna says how important it is, the worship and appreciation of the devotee. And specifically, of course, the pure devotee, the spiritual master, is mentioned here. So the Uttama Adhikari sees everyone as a servant of God. He does not actually just make distinction. In other words, one on the highest platform sees Krishna everywhere, sees that every living entity is a pure spirit soul. Every living entity has the super soul within the heart. And really, on one sense, does not make distinction between any living entities. Understands they are all servants of God, that they are all pure devotees by nature. And has this vision of the spiritual nature of every living entity, and know that that's really the essence of that person. And therefore knows how to deal with that person to bring them to that realization. Now, sometimes it's described that for purposes of preaching, that the Uttama Adhikari will act on the Majjhima Adhikari platform. Because, understand, if I am seeing everyone is servant of God, everyone is a devotee, then what do I have to do? Nothing. Everything is perfect. Everything is fine. So that is a certain, you know, that's this very high spiritual vision, but there's two parts of it. Yes, that is everyone's true nature, but currently most living entities in the conditioned state are suffering due to their false identification with the body and the mind. They are within this material world, not understanding that true nature that only the Uttama Adhikari devotee sees. Therefore, out of compassion, it's described that they will come to the Majjhima platform for the purposes of preaching, because in preaching you do need to make some distinction. Now, what is that distinction? That distinction that the Majjhima Adhikari makes was described in this verse. It says, an intermediate or second-class devotee called Majjhima Adhikari offers his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a sincere friend to all the devotees of the Lord, shows mercy to ignorant people who are innocent, and disregards those who are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the Nectar of Instruction, very, very similar verse, verse 5 says, one should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation and is engaged in worshiping the deity. One should associate faithfully, serve the pure devotee who has advanced an undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Actually, there's two different concepts here. I better break those down. This concept we just read from the Nectar of Instruction describes how we approach the three classes of devotees. In other words, one should honor and respect one who's on the Kanishtha Adhikari platform, one on the Majjhima, one should serve, and one should actually make friendships with that person, and one who is on the highest platform, one serves. One simply has the attitude of service and learning from them. So the Majjhima within sees these four things that we're describing. First is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He understands the position of Krishna. He worships Krishna in the temple, also sees Krishna, you know, in his manifested variegated energies. Secondly, he says he's a sincere friend to all the devotees. So the middle class devotee, the Majjhima, makes friendships with devotees, takes the association of devotees, understands that how important that is. It says to the ignorant people he shows mercy. And the best way that we show mercy to the ignorant, of course, is through preaching, is through giving them Krishna consciousness. So that's this platform of preaching that the Majjhima is on. And to those who are envious, it says it disregards those. In other words, it don't spend a lot of time with them. And I think, I don't know, it wasn't so much in what we read, but there's some further purports in here that are really good for you to go back and read. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur talks about this principle to some degree, about why even the Uttama Adhikari, what to speak of the Majjhima Adhikari, does not actually preach to those who are envious or those who are demoniac or those who have no interest in Krishna consciousness. It's described that you can be their well-wisher. And it's described how the devotee is meditating and thinking about how to save these conditioned souls. But he does not necessarily spend a lot of time being intimate with those who are envious. Because first of all, it's of very little value. It can often be a waste of time. But more than that, even sometimes preaching to such a person almost increases their envy, and they may say things which are blasphemous or offensive, and that actually works against them. That actually does not benefit them. In fact, it's a very negative thing that they will get some reaction for that. So in other words, it's really out of compassion that we don't try to preach to people that would cause them to become more offensive, right? We don't want people to commit offenses, not only because we don't want to hear it, because, you know, we don't want to hear anything negative about, you know, Krishna and our guru or like that, but we know it will harm them. So that is why even most advanced devotees will avoid the atheistic or envious class of people. But at the same time, it's described by our acharyas that they're also meditating on how to deliver them. So it's kind of a simultaneous paradox. How do we avoid them and how do we deliver them at the same time? How might we do that? How would we avoid, you know, intimate association or at the same time do something to deliver them? What's that? Distributing prasadam, yeah. Yes, distributing prasadam, bhajan, kirtan. Websites, yes. They may come across a website, and that's a little less threatening to them. Yeah. Praying to Krishna, praying for their welfare. Yes. Prahlad Maharaj had that attitude, right? He says, my only distress, my only concern is these fools and rascals who are rotting this material world, who are suffering. He says, that is the only thing that of his concern. I was also just reading a verse that had a class this week in Alachua, and it was talking about the heavenly planets. And I was reading, there was one verse that said that the residents of Satyaloka, now Satyaloka is, of course, the highest planetary system. It's the planet of Lord Brahma. And these are not like ordinary demigods like Indra and Chandra, who are just really sort of on this very high enjoyment level. These are the ones who are the mystic yogis, the meditator, you know, the ones who are very, very advanced. In fact, at the end of the annihilation, most of them go back to Vaikuntha. They are so advanced, it said, there's absolutely no disturbance to them, except one. They sometimes are disturbed because they have out of compassion for the conditioned souls in the material universe. So sometimes they will descend to the material, you know, into the lower planets, the material universe, for the purpose of preaching to the conditioned souls. That's their only disturbance. The only thing, just as Prahlad Maharaj, and we have so many examples, Vasudeva, in Chaitanya Leela. I mean, this is the great level of compassion that advanced devotees have. Now, sometimes we might wonder who's innocent and who's atheistic or demoniac. Sometimes it's hard to tell, particularly in Kali Yuga, because everybody seems pretty fallen, and many, many people, very few people, are religious. So how do we make this distinction? I mean, it takes a little bit of discernment, a little bit of intelligence. Prabhupada once said that 90% or 95%, I forget which, of the people are innocent. So in other words, don't assume they're all demons, they're all atheists, they're all out there, I can't talk to anybody. No, most people are innocent. And Prabhupada said they've been misled by our leaders. You know, they're misled by the scientists, they're misled by the academics, you know, all these people, the philosophers of today, the politicians. They're misled by these people, and therefore they may be inadvertently caught up in what may seem like demoniac activity or behavior. But at heart, most of them are innocent. And so we see this, that, and we often, it becomes obvious fairly clearly, fairly quickly, you know, when we approach conditioned souls, you know, there are those who, you know, like, well, you've seen people who won't take prasadam, or who are like just turn away, who are just like instantly like show this strong aversion to devotees. Some people are like that, or they may speak harshly or whatever. Although even sometimes those people have come around in time. You know, that's the great mercy of Lord Chaitanya. You know, but if a person is showing to be very inimical, we simply ignore them. You know, we don't try to get back at them. We don't retaliate. We don't have any hatred in our heart for them. We actually are their well-wisher. The devotee always remains the well-wisher of every living entity. But we may have to just let them alone. Just ignore them for now and concentrate on the 90% of the population there who could take to Krishna consciousness. You know, that leaves us several billion, you know, good candidates for Krishna consciousness. So there's plenty to do without going after the most demoniac. Anyway, this is generally the thinking of different classes of devotees. And as devotees, we should be aspiring to the position of Majjhima Bhaktas. Yes, it's an eventual goal, of course, to be a pure devotee, to be an Uttama Adhikari devotee. But I think that, you know, Prabhupada has told us that, you know, we should strive towards this Majjhima platform. It's a very strong position of devotional service. Said most of us, you know, we start on a Kanishtha platform and we gradually, as we advance, our faith becomes stronger and we'll find ourselves eventually come to this platform of firm faith, of the Majjhima platform. And that is the position of the preacher. It's a very good position because it's the position that, as I said, that even the highest class devotee will come to for the position and the opportunity to preach to the conditioned souls. So that should be our meditation, understanding how to deal properly with different classes of devotees and how trying to come to this Majjhima platform, how we should interact with both devotees and non-devotees. So I'd like to stop and see if there's some other comments or questions. Yes, Prabhu.
In relation to Madhyama Adhikari, sort of ignoring atheists, but remaining well-wisher, sort of meditating on how to save them. I was thinking this analogy of the turtle meditating on her eggs from distance. But I was wondering if that was in relation to that or that analogy was...
I'm not sure. The turtle meditating on that?
Yeah, the turtle come to the seashore and then laid eggs, mm-hmm. and then she goes away, but then she's always meditating on that egg, and because of the meditation, that egg hatches and then comes out.
Did you have a comment on
that? I think that's in relation to the thinking of Krishna, we attain the nature of Krishna. I don't know exactly.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I don't know if this analogy has been used in that relationship, but I mean, I think it is an interesting perspective, a way to look at it. That
I think that analogy, the turtle analogy, was used in relation to the sort of spiritual master kind of thinking about his disciples.
Right.
Something.
Yeah. But on the other hand, the well wishes of the devotees are very powerful. And if the devotees, the prayers of the devotees are powerful, the well wishes, the intent of devotees is very strong. And certainly the more that we have that mentality and consciousness of wishing well for all living entities, I mean, to the degree that we have, you know, any power or potency at all, then it's certainly beneficial. You know, and in the case of the Uttamadhikari, it's very powerful. Because the pure devotee, whatever their desire is completely one with Krishna's desire, right? And because of that, what their desire, Krishna is fulfilling their desire. While they're always wanting to fulfill Krishna's desire, Krishna is always wanting to fulfill the desire of his devotees. So because the pure devotee has this desire to deliver the conditioned souls, then Krishna says, yes, I will do that, you know. Other thoughts, comments? I didn't know there was a question.
So, I was thinking how Kanishtha Adhikari, there's always mention of the deity. And for a Westerner in general, that's the deity is a very foreign concept. Mm-hmm. So, having that as a qualification of Kanishtha Adhikari, I've always sort of wondered about.
Like, how would that manifest in the Western world?
Yeah. And so I was just wondering how generally that qualification is mentioned when there's...
Because for obviously that would apply more probably to Indian, to those who are familiar with deity worship, in other words, and that understanding of deity worship and maybe, you know, its limitation. In the West, someone who actually understood that, you know, the deity in the temple was Krishna would be pretty advanced. You know, that would actually be a real step forward for us to have that realization. Now, and also remember, it's not that a more advanced devotee doesn't worship Krishna in the temple or doesn't have realization that the deity is Krishna. I mean, in fact, the most advanced devotees have the most realization of that. Look at the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. One of the, you know, of the tasks they were given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to establish temples. And there's such wonderful pastimes with our most exalted acharyas, with their deities. And they're under, because they had, their relationship was, this is Krishna. You know, this really is Krishna. They were relating to Krishna, seeing Krishna. Krishna would speak to them through the deity form. So this isn't a diminishment of deity worship. This is saying that if one only sees or only has this understanding that Krishna is in the deity form and not anywhere else, then that's not so advanced. I think that in the Western world, we would probably see some of these other qualities of not being steady, of having, you know, not firm faith, not having scripture, not understanding the scriptures, not understanding philosophical rationale for Krishna consciousness. Those other things would be there. The tendency to fall down, you know, those would all be symptoms of Kanishtha. Yeah. Go ahead, go.
Could it be a symptom of Kanishtha if one is, you know, very sectarian? You know, my way is the only way. Mm. Could that be Kanishtha, maybe?
Definitely. In fact, I think that we see practitioners, I don't want to, you know, really go there into any kind of, you know, a critical way, but I think that we see that sometimes practitioners of other religions definitely show this Kanishtha situation. being very sectarian, and even devotees could be in that mood. Yeah.
Just have a comment. I would also think that, like, sometimes you see on cars it says only God can judge me. You know, as if he doesn't care how you treat other people. You know, it's like,
yeah,
only God. You see this on cars all the time. It's like,
yeah,
I would think that's sort of Kanishtha Adhikari, like, just God. You know,
that's a great example. Thank you. Yeah, not realizing the relationship with others mm-hmm. and devotees is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding, you know, I mean, that's one of this whole idea of sadhu sangha, of association with devotees, is one of the, you know, keystones mm-hmm. of our whole process.
Yes. And the Madhyam will see the other devotees, and the Uttam will see everything in relation to God.
So. Right. Yeah, that's the difference. The advanced devotee sees everything in relation to God, sees the devotees in relation to God. I see the prashad. I want to make one announcement before I get this in, before the prashadam comes in, which is usually the cue to, you know, step down. Do people know about the seminar that we're having on Saturday? Has that been announced here? Anyway, there's a seminar called How to Pick a Partner for a Lasting Marriage. And the original title of it, which some people thought was kind of offensive, but we sort of liked it. The original course was called How to Not Marry a Jerk or a Jerkette. You know, and I was okay, so you all like that. See, younger people like it. It's old fuddy-duddies that, you know, get... Anyway, right. At any rate, you know, there's some really good, by the way, the course is given by myself and my wife, Montrini, and there's some really good information. A lot of this comes from, Professor Dr. John Van Epp, and it's a very, very good program, in-depth understanding of relationships. It really even goes beyond the idea of picking a partner or going to marriage, but I think there's some really good information. I really encourage everybody to come. It's Saturday at 4 o'clock at the Bhakti Bhavan Ashram, Lakshmimoni Nikuti's Ashram in Alachua. Thank you. Jai Prabhupada.